Welcome to Vocal Point. This is Jerry Newcomen. Right now, we're going to talk with Dr. Gary Kass of the Christian Anti-Defamation Commission on the subject of the war on Christmas. Now, some of the liberal bent like to say, there is no war on Christmas. What are you talking about? Well, Gary Kass runs defendchristians.org as a website, and he chronicles a lot of the anti-Christian bias going on in our culture and alerts people to this. So we're going to discuss this war on Christmas. Gary, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jerry.
So what do you say to those who say, well, come on, Gary, there is no war on Christmas?
Well, some people might accuse us of maybe using a little too strong of rhetoric, but I don't know what you would call it if you don't call it a war on Christmas. There's an attack on Christmas that's unrelenting. And so however you want to characterize it, whatever word you want to use, it doesn't change the substance of the fact that our Christian heritage, especially our Christian holidays, are trying to be diluted by people who are of a secular bent, and they've been very successful in many of their efforts to try to eradicate any mention of Christmas from the public square, including government entities, especially
schools.
Focused on public schools.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just been kind of a chilling effect of this war on Christmas, even to the point that people, when you're out shopping for Christmas presents, they will greet you in the stores, by the employees will greet you with Happy Holidays, because God forbid that they should wish you Merry Christmas, even though that's why you're there buying Christmas gifts.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. I mean, the whole thing is indeed funneled or fueled ultimately by Christ's birth and the fact that the wise men brought him gifts. Those were the original Christmas gifts. And that's what the whole thing is in celebration of, but you wouldn't know that today. Now, some people would say, oh, come on, Gary. So who cares about what goes on in the public schools? Look at television. You can't watch TV without ads these days related to Christmas presents. You can't go to the stores without seeing some kind of Christmas display, Christmas trees all over the place. There's all kinds of ornaments and lights shining to, you know, mark the holiday season.
Right. And that shows you that Christmas has a life of its own apart from its critics, and especially those of the more militant secularist orientation that want more than anything else to create some kind of a world that has no reference to God or Christ. There's something irrepressible about Christmas that appeals, I think, not only to our traditions, but I think to our instinctive knowledge of God that the Bible says everybody knows. And so it's fascinating too, isn't it, that it's not just Western civilization that honors Christ's birth. Even Eastern religions and Hinduism and even Islam to some degree wants to associate themselves with Christ, and as if by saying, oh, we believe in Christ and we love Christ too. Of course, they redefine Jesus and all of that. But everybody kind of wants to get associated with him because there's something about Christ that lends credibility. And we all know that intuitively and intrinsically, I believe. And so there's kind of this weird situation in the culture where there's kind of a love-hate, if you will. And we see it manifest a lot of times in the advertising where, we talk about everything but the reason for Christmas. We talk about the emotions of Christmas, joy and peace and happiness. We all want all of the warm, fuzzy feelings.
Sure.
But it's all rooted in the historical fact of the incarnation of Christ.
Well, let me just give one illustration, and it's not even a new one, about the war on Christmas, but this one just strikes me amazingly. This radio station is housed in South Florida at the radio station founded by the late Dr. D. James Kennedy. And about 5-8 years ago, something like that, at Calvary Chapel, a local church, a big church in our area, the biggest church certainly in South Florida, well, they had the situation where they wanted to have a local advertisement in lights at this local park where different advertisers were allowed to get some sort of message in there. And here they have this display in this public park with all these different lights showing some sort of holiday-type theme, you know, the blind mice, the chipmunks, you know, whatever, maybe a dreidel, but there was nothing Christmas-oriented. I mean, nothing about Jesus and so forth. So this church wanted to have a message about that. Well, the first year, the parks was very skittish about that, but they did allow a message like God bless the USA, something like that. So that did allow, was allowed to be passed. The next year, the church wanted to have a little bit more of a, you know, actual statement. So they wanted to say, Jesus is the reason for the season. And the county said, no, you know, that would violate the separation of church and state, supposedly. Well, the church sued them for $1. I mean, the whole point of the whole thing was not, you know, some sort of lawsuit to try and be greedy or anything like that. It was just more like, this is the principle of the thing. And, you know, in this country, shouldn't we have that freedom? So the judge ruled in favor of the church, but he made this stipulation. Just change your sign to say Calvary Chapel says Jesus is the reason for the season. And so that's what they did. And then the next year, the parks system turned around and said, okay, we're not going to take any advertising lest, you know, this be polluted with any reference to Christ. So as it is, if you go to that beautiful display of holiday lights, you can see the chipmunks and the little mice and the Christmas presents and possibly even a Christmas tree. But you see absolutely nothing about Jesus. You wouldn't even know Christmas had anything to do with the Christ child.
And, you know, I mentioned this. I had the privilege, of course, of speaking Sunday at New Pres and in the class that you teach on Sunday mornings. And you know, some of us think, well, how are we really making mountains out of molehill? Is this really important? And I think what we have to step back and ask is, why in the world are people so hostile to the Christmas message? I mean, after all, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season, and, you know, you would have to be absolutely insane to think otherwise. I mean, the facts are the facts. But that anti-Christian hostility and the desire to eradicate the Christian memory. And I think sometimes, I know I'm very naive. I live in the, what somebody might call a Christian ghetto, you know, mm-hmm. a ghetto meaning where just only the people that are all of one persuasion or one race or one ideology all kind of congregate, and we're kind of not really seeing what's going on in the larger culture. But I bet, and maybe this would be a good exercise for someone to do, if we took a poll of children and young people about the nature and meaning of Christmas, I think we would be utterly scandalized by the high percentage of kids who have no inkling of the true meaning of Christmas. And we'll see, and the same thing goes for Easter. Mm-hmm. And you can see how they're secularizing our holidays. I mentioned in your class last Sunday that the city of Pittsburgh now refers to the Christmas holiday, December 25th, as Sparkle Day. Well, why in the world would they come up with that? Well, somebody probably complained. Maybe somebody threatened a lawsuit. At the end of the day, out of a irrational sense of political correctness and tolerance, we're willing to throw our heritage out the window. Mm. And what is culture? What is education? It's passing on tradition. It's passing on the acquired knowledge and of what we've come to, and so we need to be passing on the true meaning of Christmas, the true meaning of Easter. We could, you know, what about all of the other days on the Christian calendar that we would have an opportunity to think of the things of God, you know, Pentecost and all of these other times that we remember how God worked in history and what an impact it has had obviously on Western civilization, but uniquely, I believe, mm-hmm. in America. And so that's really the golden ring. Everybody's trying to capture the future, and the secularists know the only way they can do that is by trying to eradicate a Christian memory.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I remember when I grew up in Chicago, this is just a small, specific anecdote, but you would hear the advertisements for Brookfield Zoo, which is a world-class zoo in the suburbs of Chicago, and they would say, open every day but Christmas. And that's the way it is with a lot of institutions, every day but Christmas. And yet, as you point out, we're now getting to the point where Christmas is almost being eradicated in public ways. You, I'm sure, are aware of the, and you mentioned this, in fact, the other day, some Muslims in Maryland agitated to make sure that the word Christmas was struck from the calendar. Can you tell us about that?
Well, this is in the largest school district in Maryland, and because of a complaint by a Muslim that one of the Islamic holidays were not on the school calendar and did not constitute a day off for students, that equity would require that Christmas be stripped from the calendar. And again...
And what happened?
Well, and they did that. And that's the sad thing, is that, well, to the mind of the secularists, mm-hmm. and we've been so conditioned that somehow acknowledging these holidays is actually, you know, because the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and all of this does have this idea of equality for everybody, and then we don't want a national religion being established in the sense that we're forcing people to conform mm-hmm. to a particular religious ideology. Now, originally, we know that that meant a particular Christian ideology.
Right, a particular denomination.
Right, and so we know that that was the intent originally of that, but now it's been broadly interpreted to say any kind of religion. Well, Christmas and the celebration of Christmas is not establishing a religion. We're simply respecting the origin and traditions of this mm-hmm. country, and therefore there is an educational, just if from a purely historic point of view, there is an educational benefit for children to know where this country came from, what its values are, and even what its dominant religious history is. For the Muslim to say, because a Muslim holiday is not on the calendar, it is morally equivalent to Christmas, and therefore Christmas must be taken off if the Muslim holidays are not honored, is just complete irrationalism. Islam did not establish this country. And by the way, how do you think that would fly in Saudi Arabia if a Christian dared to reveal himself there and say, hey, I want all of my holidays to be respected here in Saudi Arabia? What do you think would happen? Mm. And we know what would happen. Yeah. So here's the frustration and the challenge for the church. The reason why people are able to appeal to this kind of argument, which is largely an appeal to emotions, not to reason and being rational about the issue. But they try, and what the Muslim did here very successfully is portray themselves as a victim. So now, okay, this guy's got his feelings hurt because we don't celebrate the Muslim holidays in America, and in order to show that we're good guys and that we're kind, and that we are, you know, not wanting to intentionally offend anybody, we will throw out our history, our heritage, which, by the way, is why we're kind and tolerant, and we try to show, you know, goodwill towards all people, including Muslims. And it's just an astounding irony
yeah.
that basically they use our Christianity against us
yeah.
to destroy our Christianity.
Well, that's like the statement from G.K. Chesterton, and this is a paraphrase, but he said something like, these are the days when the Christian is expected to respect everybody's creed except his own.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I think that's a fascinating point. We're talking right now with Dr. Gary Kass on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. We're talking about the war on Christmas. DefendChristians.org for more information. Gary, you have a great quote on the war on Christmas from Franklin Graham. Tell us about that quote.
Well, yes, and to his credit, and I appreciate his leadership in this respect.
Oh, he's been great. For example, with his politically incorrect prayers for our military and so forth.
Oh,
and
he's been, God forbid this.
Yeah, he's had discrimination that he's dealt with because of that.
And so on this issue, again, he's done well in articulating, I think, our position. This is a few sentences, but let me read it to you. This mm-hmm. is from Franklin Graham. Unfortunately, the United States in the last few decades has witnessed increased hostility toward the sacred nature of Christmas, erupting into what has become a blatant war on Christmas. That's because, at its root and core, the war on Christmas isn't really about Christmas. It's about the Son of God. The war on Christmas is a war on Christ and his followers. It's the hatred of our culture for the exclusive claims that Christ made.
Mm.
There, and just a couple of points there.
Sure.
This is true. This is, and by the way, certainly not new in this respect, that the spirit of Antichrist has been in the world since the New Testament times. We know that,
mm-hmm.
and it's referred to there. So the spirit of Antichrist is in the world. And I think, honestly, it's been fairly emboldened because of the political landscape over the last few years. And so they feel very happy and if you will, more bold, I think, than they would otherwise be, because I think maybe mistakenly they think that people are with them on this issue, but I'll share if we have time later that no, people don't agree. But nevertheless...
you lost me. There's too many... what's your main point right there?
Well, the people that are on the other side of this issue...
The atheists.
Because of what they probably misinterpreted as, well, gosh, you know, secularism is winning, and I think, frankly, President Obama is a poster child for that. And so they think, oh, we're on the ascendancy. And so I think that's emboldened them. But the truth is, you know, as I shared, the polling doesn't reflect that there's a lot of warm, fuzzy feeling for atheistic secularism.
Oh.
And so even though they do these things, and by the way, in order to get attention, what do they have to do? They have to draft on our holidays, right? They don't have anything that's worthwhile. I joke the only holiday that the atheists have is April 1st. But they have to jump on Easter. They have to jump on Christmas to try to, in a provocative fashion, insinuate themselves into the holidays in order to get attention. And we talked about the billboard campaigns. It wouldn't be Christmas now. It just seems like this has become a Christmas tradition, unless the atheists are poking us in the eye mm-hmm. with some kind of a billboard campaign that either makes fun of us and mocks us or mocks Christ and the Bible. But it's not working for them. I mentioned this to you as well, that recent polls have shown that a majority of Americans said that belief in God is necessary for individual morality. You know, one of the problems atheism has is if there is no God, then what is your standard for morality? And they said, oh, no, you can be a moral atheist. Well, by the way, that's a contradiction in terms, because morality is driven by theology. And so in order for you to be a moral atheist, that's an irrational position. And fortunately, at least a majority of Americans get it. I wish all Americans understood that, but still, they're not winning. And I related that Pew did a poll asking people kind of a, remember we played that game, hot and cold, are you getting hotter or colder? They asked a bunch of temperature questions. What are your feelings, hot or cold, about certain religious groups? And Americans, by a wide margin, have the coldest feelings for atheists and Muslims. Now, we can understand Muslims because of the violence that we're witnessing even this week, but atheism is right up there. There's something wrong. Americans understand there's fundamentally a problem with this atheistic worldview. So but that doesn't keep them from trying to use billboards and things to elicit a response from us. And we mentioned the one about the American atheists who are putting up this campaign, and it has the picture of the little girl ostensibly writing a letter to Santa, mm-hmm. and you see what she's writing. Dear Santa, all I want for Christmas is to skip church. I'm too old for fairy tales. Now, and they're, by the way, going to be, because they don't have a whole lot of money, they're just going to be putting it in the Bible Belt. Well, why would they do that?
Mm-hmm.
To intentionally elicit a response from the church. So in some sense, we can just kind of laugh at them, not to say that we shouldn't respond to them, but they're not winning.
I wrote a column about that. Yeah, I wrote a column about that particular campaign with the billboard you just mentioned, and the gist of it is really I was saying, okay, so you're basically saying that Christianity is fairy tales or that Jesus is fairy tales. That's not true at all. Look at the fact. Just taking one particular strand of apologetics, the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. Now, anybody can try and predict the future, but only God could have written the Bible. When you look at the facts of the Bible and you see how all these things about aspects of the life of Jesus, even his ancestry, his place of birth, all of those things were predicted hundreds and hundreds of years before he came, pointing to the fact that he is who he said he is. And he himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So as Christians, we worship the truth with a capital T, that is Jesus Christ. So to say he's a fairy tale is just, I'm sorry, it's just nonsense. Oh, and they turn around and they use a fairy tale, which is Santa Claus, to discredit the truth,
right.
Whom they call a fairy tale,
and
which
the,
is
at the
Jesus.
End of the day, and I hate to, I know we're running out of time here, and there's a lot to cover, but this is one of the things, and I appreciate your article that you responded to this, but I find it's intellectually disingenuous. But many times people, in their unbelief, this is the way they just dismiss everything about Christianity. Oh, it's just a fairy tale. It's just a myth. And by saying that, all of the historical evidence, everything just disappears. And it's just intellectual laziness. So we've got some good work as the church to call people out on that, and I appreciate that your article did do that. It's a myth that there is no God. Atheism has to then create their own mythology, and we know what it's called, evolution. Then how are you going to account for how you got here, and what does your life mean? Well, your life doesn't mean anything if God's not there, and where are you going? Well, we're going nowhere. Well, what's the meaning of life? Well, we don't have any meaning. It's a purposeless, accidental universe. That is such a bleak, horrific idea that people just can't countenance it. But that's what atheism stands for. They just don't have the guts to say, this is, you know, who we are, this is what we believe, take it or leave it. So they have to try to get snarky and try to use our holiday to try to advance their irrationalism.
There is no question that they've been able to get out there on the highways and byways and manage to even, you know, make sure that there would be no sneaky reference of God or certainly not of Jesus Christ, you know, in the public schools, you know, unless it's in swearing or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The scary thing about this is when you look at the ignorance of the American people, for example, even the youth, on certain just basic aspects of American history, as an example.
Right.
Then if you then consider, well, what about basic things of Christian theology? You know, who is Jesus? Why did he die? When was he born?
You understand? We've got to teach them about sexual orientation and all of the important things in life.
Well, I'm telling you, when you see these videos, I mean, for example, Jay Leno used to do this when he was having his...
Yeah.
Show and he would ask these questions, and for example, at 4th of July, you know, who are we fighting against, you know, at the 4th of July and so forth, and a lot of these people didn't even know the answer to that.
Right.
Germany, you know,
exactly.
Whatever, and it's like, whoa.
No,
and if you ask questions about Jesus,
Yeah, on Bill O'Reilly's show, they have that guy that does Waters World, and he would go to university. So that, you know, that's
scary.
You know, that's the maybe man on the street, but Waters World, they go to universities and ask these same questions, and they don't fare much better. So,
okay, we have 3 minutes.
To do, and
we
it's
do.
Glorious work. I appreciate your friendship. Go to defendchristians.org, and we need to talk about the top 10 anti-Christian events of 2014 if your listeners want to go and vote, and maybe we can come back and do another program.
Sure, but we have 3 minutes to wrap up. What do you want to say about the war on Christmas that you haven't said?
Well, just for us not to get discouraged in this, the spirit of Antichrist has been out there for a long time, and it's a losing proposition. Why? Because we're on the right side of history, we're on the right side of eternity, we believe in the providence of God. And I love this time of year because we're able to pull out Handel's Messiah. And the great Hallelujah Chorus has a line in it that just thrills my soul, and it should thrill the heart of every Christian. And it is absolutely true that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. It's a quote right out of the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. And we know that. We look around, we see things, we're concerned about things, and should be. But ultimately, the Christian hope is in the success of the providence and sovereignty of God in history. And those who make light of Christmas, those who attack Christmas, are on the wrong side of history, the wrong side of eternity. And we need, with great alacrity and boldness, to declare Merry Christmas and to not be ashamed and actually use it as an opportunity to maybe spring into a conversation about their need of Christ.
Okay. Anything further?
Well, just that we're going to have some struggles here short term. There's been a lot of, because the church has not been perhaps as active and bold, and we've ceded a lot of territory, the secularists are not going to hand it back over to us. And remember, they've been working this little progressive liberal exercise for 100 years now, and we just need to have a 100-year mindset to say, you know what, the next 100 years are going to belong to us. You progressives, now that we know what you're like, we know what you're trying to do, we see the bitter fruit that this ideology has borne, now it's time for the church to stand up and say, do you want something better than this? Then let's get back to the proven paths, the tried ways, the heritage that we have, and fortunately the patrimony we have in this nation, and not be ashamed of Christ, and certainly not be ashamed of Christmas.
Amen. As Dostoevsky said, and you think about this, here in the 19th century, in a novel, Fyodor Dostoevsky of Russia, one of his characters said, well, if there is no God, then all things are permissible. And you think about that quote in light of what the communists did in the name of their atheism, or what the Nazis did in the name of their godless construct, to use a phrase from the great historian Paul Johnson. Gary Kass, thanks so much for being with us. Again, Dr. Gary Kass, defendchristians.org for more information at the Christian Anti-Defamation Commission. Hey, Gary, one last thing. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you and to all your listeners.
Thank you, and God bless.